Photomat was the name of the little hut in the parking lot that you dropped off your film. People say, well, the iPhone and the ability to take pictures on your phone, good quality pictures, killed that industry. I would say that Robin Williams' movie One Hour Photo scared me away from that industry. Cy had a little bit of meltdown in that movie. That was Robin Williams played that character very, very well. That was at the
very well.
It was one of the last movies that he did. But One Hour Photo.
Yeah.
Welcome back into the Gary Sharp Show. That voice you heard is Josh. Quickly, little update from Lincoln. Usually it is quick on Thursdays after practice. Scott Frost didn't talk very long. Talked about the leadership. Damian Jackson, Austin Allen, Deontay Williams. Nebraska gets ready to play their eighth game in 8 weeks. Was asked about Quentin Newsom, who got a black shirt earlier this week. Said Frost said he likes the way that he's held up to the challenge. Early in the season, teams challenged him in the run game, but he's shown the ability to hold up well in run support and tackle consistently, and then reiterated that Nebraska has to go and win a road game. The road record under Scott Frost has not been good. So Nebraska will try and win their first road game of the year. And question I pose to Jacob is, if you're looking at the schedule and how to get to a bowl game for Nebraska, before you ever get to Black Friday, when Iowa comes in here, and Iowa, who's got a kind of interesting game at home against Purdue. Purdue's won 3 of 4 against Iowa. Won there a couple of years ago. Just a weird series between those two teams, and Purdue catches Iowa after Penn State. And I believe that Purdue is coming off a bye. But more than likely, Iowa, if they navigate through the rest of the season, they'll roll into Lincoln unbeaten. So before Nebraska gets to that matchup, if you want them to be bowl eligible, they've got to win 3 of their next 4. Ohio State being the one that I think is going to be... Ohio State to me is the toughest game left on Nebraska's schedule. But to do that, to go 3-1 over the next 4, where you chalk up Ohio State to a... You're going to have to win 2 road games. What's your faith in that Nebraska can go on the road and win 2 road games, winning at Wisconsin, winning at Minnesota? But before you look ahead, this is a must if you're thinking about the Guaranteed Rate Bowl and putting on sunscreen in late December in downtown Phoenix, is that you win and you go into a bye at 4-4. A bye week at 3-5, long, long, long time till Nebraska plays Purdue. But 4-4? In a bye week, and there's not a clunker in there except for week 0, and there's been incremental progress, or at least stayed the same, and you find a way to win what might be a low-scoring game. Who knows? 11 a.m. game in the Twin Cities. The feeling is a lot different. Trust me. Feeling would be a lot different. Feeling would be a lot different on the post-game show. I'm just telling you. I'm being selfish here. I have a good Saturday night planned. I don't need to have it ruined by Saturday afternoon. Do work. Here is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, bud. best 3-4 team on the planet.
Oh, stop.
How about best 5-7 team? Can you still go to a bowl game if you're 5-7?
You could, but it's going to come down to what, APR? I mean,
really?
Are you excited to go to a bowl game at 5-7?
Yeah, I was excited to go to a bowl game last year. I was disappointed. But I think you hit on it with your buddy Padilla. When you said, is he going to be our leading rusher, and by a large margin, that is unacceptable. And why is that? Why is he our leading rusher? And we all knew we didn't want him to be the leading rusher.
No, you also have to factor in there's a couple of long runs in Adrian's total.
Good for him. Good for him.
But no, that you don't want your quarterback. That was a point of emphasis coming into this year. You don't want your quarterback
exactly.
to be your leading rusher. But right now it is what it is. I don't know that Ramir will be able to make up that gap because Adrian's not going to stop running. And I think they will try and run a little bit more option this weekend against Minnesota to see what they can do and get outside, because this is a Minnesota rush defense. Colorado is woeful on offense, but still they were minus 19 in that category.
Exactly. But here's the thing. this is why I'm optimistic. If you gave Adrian Martinez a grade on his play, okay, the second half with that 30 minutes of football, okay, if you graded him on the first 25 minutes of the second half against a really good top 10 team, what grade would you give him?
B plus.
Not even more than that, the second half? I mean, wow, he was pretty awesome. And I think he was throwing it about 100%, like nice runs, nice decisions. But the point is, the last 3 or 4 minutes, if you were to grade, you know, that fumble, that missed pass to Falk that might have, you know, given us a field goal, why, and these are things he can do. We know. It's not like, hey, you can't do that. He made much tougher plays than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he do that? I think part of it, was he choking? I don't think so, because there was a lot of pressure in that second half to come back, you know? Didn't you think we were probably going to get blown out in that second half? It was fantastic.
Well, at halftime, Mike, I thought this just has the feel of it's going to go south quickly just because of how the second quarter rolled out and then Michigan scoring late. Regardless if Nebraska was getting the ball, I thought Nebraska's in trouble because I thought Frost really started to let the officiating bother him. I mean, he went into going hard after the officials. I mean, where it was, I thought, here, I've seen this act before. It's going to distract him. He'll get caught up in it. But Nebraska's been able to have some good third quarters this year. But what they did in the second half, coming out like they did and offensively turned it around, I was really, really surprised by.
That's big. It's big. Mm-hmm. And that's improvement on the coaching staff, don't you think? Because we've seen a lot of bad adjustments or no adjustments from this coaching staff.
Well,
would you agree?
I think they go in with a plan. Parker and I were talking about this yesterday, is with what they decide to do when they win the toss, I think has impacted what they do in the third quarter. So they have some time to think about what they're going to do. And they probably worked on that earlier in the week. Okay, if we win the toss, we're going to defer. We'll take the football to begin the second half so we can work on our scripted plays in the first half. And then we've got a nice collection of plays that we're going to start the second half with. So I think that's benefited them as well. But they also,
no,
you know, also I think they, I do feel that Frost and Lubick in the last few weeks have got a better feel for their offense on what to run. There were times during the Michigan State game that it was very sporadic. Since then, I think they have a better handle on who the personnel are on the field and what they want to run, because what they were dialing up in the second half offensively, there were some things that, I mean, even, you know, look at the Austin Allen touchdown. They ran some stuff that when Nebraska scored, I mean, it was wide open. You could tell that it was a well-designed, well-executed play, and then they got the desired result.
Did you notice on Austin Allen, those DBs were not gaining on him as he's running.
No.
That big guy can move.
No, he's a Sunday guy. He's going to play in the NFL. I mean, he's been a hell of an athlete, Mike, since he prepped at Aurora in multiple sports.
Yeah, I mean, our top two tight ends, and we got, you know, some younger tight ends, you know, the kid from Burke, he's a talented kid. But what I'm saying is, why was he so bad at the end of making two really bad plays when he was so great before? And I think part of it is all the running and pounding he takes. You know, it's almost like a fighter. You take so many shots because you know he's better than that. So that's the positive thing. We know. It's almost like guys trade off at the end of games. Like, who knew that punting would be so bad, you know, against Michigan State?
But do you think, let me ask you this, Mike, and we don't know the answer to this. Only Adrian can tell. And, you know, we don't get to watch practice when they go through their 2-minute drill and how much they stress the offense during a 2-minute drill. Is in those situations, whether, you know, the play calling's got to match the personnel and you've got to execute it and everybody's got to work together, is that things get sped up so much that maybe that is not a strength of Adrian, and we see the result where other times during the game where they go a little bit quicker, he's a little bit more comfortable, but now it's on the line and you've got to make plays. There is no, you know, there's no, hey, we get another chance at it. That he gets sped up and things get a little haywire, but there's, it's tough to explain that the pass to Falk, or even have you, I'm sure you've gone back and watched the game numerous times. I will not for the life of me, Mike, understand how Adrian on the play that the fumble happened, how he went right and not left, because if he runs left, he is probably still running and he might be in Cortland or Beatrice by now.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of the you know, those read options where you know that the decision he made, you know, it's like, why did you keep it that time? Or why did you give it up when the other decision, you know what I'm saying? We've seen a lot of that. And then, he's such a talented guy. What I'm saying is they got it. He cannot be your leading rusher because that's just taking more abuse. And Osborne said once, you only got so many train wrecks in you. And he's obviously been hurt more because these players keep intimating. You don't know what he's been going through, you know?
Yeah, but I think he's done a good job. You know, you can tell that he's sleeker this year. I don't think he has set himself up to get crushed this year. Whenever he has been hit in the open field, I think he's done a better job of protecting himself. But I'm with you. I mean, now you're going 8 games in 8 weeks and you're going through the slog of the season. The less hits on your quarterback, the better. And for the most part, the last 2 weeks, he hasn't been crushed in the pocket. You know, Northwestern, you know, barely breathed on him. And Michigan got to him. But most of the time Michigan got to him in the pocket, they were not just crushing him.
You're right. And the O-line is doing better. I mean, losing Prochaska really hurts. Mm-hmm. But I think Ben Hart, they lit a fire under him.
Well,
do you agree that if, let's say, we end up 5-7 in their coaching changes? I mean, you know, Trev, my feeling is, Frost stays, but maybe we got a new O-line coach. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think there'll be a hard look at this program in the offseason, whether head coach stays or not. And I think Scott is headed towards 2022. I think he's still got to look at his staff. I think they can't be satisfied with a 6-6 season or 5-7, as you put it. I think they need to look what moves this program forward. But let me ask you this, and then this is for everybody else. If Nebraska this year doesn't get over the hump and they don't get that quote-unquote signature win, and there's only two left on the schedule, Ohio State and in Iowa, and maybe for the sake of the psyche of Nebraska, you could look at Wisconsin.
Right,
but if
right.
they're 6-6 and still get to a bowl, and they've basically been the same team throughout the season where the game against Ohio State is close, the game against Iowa is close, but yet the thing that they can't get over is the hump, would you still consider that a good season or at least progress?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
I mean, you know they've made
yeah.
progress.
Oh, yeah. That's clear.
I mean, these are head-scratching losses. Yeah, you and I know for most of the latter 40 years, probably, of the 20th century, Nebraska was the winningest team. And now we're the losingest team in games that are close. I mean, we've really gone from one extreme to the other. But the progress is undeniable.
Yep. Mike, thanks for the phone call. The proverbial hump that is out there, get over the hump. And you know me, I'm get over the hump and keep going. I don't want to be humping all the time. I want to get over the hump and keep going. Because if you're humping all the time, then where are you going? You're stuck again. But can you get over the hump and then keep it going? But if you don't get over the hump this year with a signature victory and you're 6-6. Now, I said at the beginning of the year, they'd be 6-6. This season hasn't played out like I had envisioned through 7 games on where a win would be or where a loss would be or who would be good or who would take a step back. But if it just kind of stays the same the rest of the year, and Nebraska wins 3 of their next 4, so they get to bowl eligibility and they're 6-5 playing Iowa and lose to Iowa, the regular season ends 6-6, you're going bowling, and the games against Ohio State and Iowa, two top 10 teams, close, would you still consider that a good season? Good season with the progress that individuals have made. Now, there are still elements that this program, clock management, game management, some game/personnel management are still out there that have to be fixed, and they may never be fixed. But how would you feel? Max Olson from The Athletic will join us at the top of the hour. I was waiting to hear some Digital Underground. Joe Bartle from RotoWire at 1:30 for some fantasy football. We'll have more on the Nebraska-Minnesota matchup for the broken chair. This trophy, which awkwardly was given to Mike Riley in 2015, after a win up in Minnesota, and didn't really know what to do with it, and I think it got left in the locker room. Every year it's brought up for a great cause, the $5 pieces of broken chair game. You think Minnesota and Nebraska will ever embrace this trophy? If they embrace this trophy, it would get a lot more run. But it's kind of like an underground swell to make this trophy a big deal. But using it for a good cause. We'll talk more about the Gophers and the Huskers. Thank you. Rest in peace, by the way.
Yeah.
11:49, the Gary Sharp Show with Josh on 1620 The Zone.